Our next guest is Simon Goulet. He's co-founder of Blue Tractor Group. They're behind one of the quote-unquote non-transparent ETF structures that just received preliminary approval from the SEC. They call it Shielded Alpha, and their plan is to license this to various asset managers. Simon is joining me via phone from New York. Simon, a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Yes, Nate. Thanks for having me, and thank you in advance to your listeners for their interest in Blue Tractor. And I will say one thing. Any podcast that uses Nirvana as a soundtrack is okay by me, so well done.
Well, I appreciate that. Simon, I thought a good place to start is to go through some of the basics of non-transparent ETFs, because I do think there are still a lot of investors and advisors trying to get their heads around this space, which, by the way, I know you disagree with the non-transparent naming convention or nomenclature. I promise you, we are going to get to that later. You will have your chance to rename this entire space. But to set the table here, why is the traditional transparent ETF wrapper insufficient for active managers?
Sure, and it's a great question. It really sets the tone for this whole new sector of wrappers. I mean, there are some actively managed funds that are concerned about disclosing their proprietary alpha generation strategy. Some managers are not so concerned, but some clearly are. So they've been reticent to put their strategies into an ETF wrapper because the traditional ETF wrapper, as you know, the one that's currently out there, requires them, under SEC rules, to disclose daily their full portfolio holdings as a typically as a pro rata slice in the creation basket. That's true. Some fund complexes have some exceptions. Think of the Vanguard funds. But most managers would have to follow those guidelines. So that's why the market has, for a long time, sort of thought that if there was another way to have a wrapper that gave the benefits of an ETF, i.e. the lower cost, the tax efficiency, the intraday liquidity, but also shielded the manager's so-called secret sauce, that could be the holy grail for some active managers. And that's what ourselves and others have proposed now to the marketplace, and that we're hoping, as you mentioned in your preamble, for full approval by December 10th.
Simon, I've got to tell you, so just about every active manager I've had on this show who uses the transparent ETF wrapper, so ARK Invest, Davis Advisor, so on and so forth, I always ask them whether fears of reverse engineering or front running are legitimate. And they all answer me the exact same way, which is they basically say those fears are overblown, that these aren't material issues. Can you maybe give us some examples of why you believe these fears are legitimate, or maybe why fund managers believe these fears are legitimate?
Sure. Well, the two advisors that you list right there, Kathy Wood and the Davis funds, I mean, they're very different. You're right. They've embraced transparency, and in many ways that's a good idea, and I'll get to that later when I describe our structure of why transparency is so important for success of an ETF. But there are some fund managers, especially high conviction, smaller fund portfolio sizes, that believe that they will be front run, that if I'm going to build a position in a security, the market knows I must get to a certain weight, a couple percent to make a difference in my fund, especially if I'm a large AUM fund. Therefore, I've tipped off the marketplace that I'm doing something. I'm either exiting or entering a position. And rightly or wrongly, some folks do believe that predators will front run them or free ride them and not pay them for their ideas. Now, I do know that Davis and ARK do not agree to this with this belief. However, there are exceptions to the rule. Most fund managers do believe that their strategies are proprietary, especially the 3-, 4-, 5-star Morningstar folks that really have demonstrated a consistent track record of beating the benchmarks on a risk-adjusted basis.
Okay, so along those lines, what about the thought that active managers are flattering themselves if they think anyone really wants to copy their strategies? Because that's another one I've heard. And yeah. I guess along with that, we all know investors have been moving away from active management, right? The lack of performance has been well documented here. So I guess the question is, why would anyone want to copy an active strategy to begin with?
No, absolutely right. The Dow Jones SPIVA data has been very telling. The last 10 years, very few managers do beat on a consistent basis over 5 years, 10 years, what have you. Their corresponding benchmarks. I mean, there are some that do demonstrate that, but you're right, a lot of them don't. And part of that reason, of course, has been the 10-year bull market. I mean, rising tide lifts all boats. I mean, it's hard to fight 25%+ returns year over year of the S&P 500. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, this market will change. They always do. There will be a correction at some point, and at that point, there are many who believe that active management then will find its place in the sun. Look, you know, we're not managers ourselves. We've developed the wrapper. You know, I'm not here to defend some of the performance problems that active management has had. It's clear that the market has spoken with the shift to index funds and passive ETFs. But there are many who believe that there is a place in your portfolio for some active strategies. And if and when you decide as an investor that you want some active exposure, then our structure, for example, and some others are out there to provide that.
All right. Well, let's talk about the wrapper you developed. The SEC has given preliminary approval on this. It's called Shielded Alpha. Walk us through how this will work at a basic level.
Sure. And the name really says it all. It's designed to shield the alpha strategy of an active manager and their trading execution around that alpha strategy. That's really what we're trying to do. So quite simply, it's an ETF wrapper, which means that it provides basic benefits of an ETF, i.e. lower taxes, because, you know, you don't have all the sales force fees and the admin fees that a mutual fund has. You have much more capital gains tax efficiency because you can flush those gains out through the ETF's creation and redemption mechanism. And, of course, you have intraday liquidity because it trades like a stock on any one of the major exchanges, NASDAQ, IC, or SIBO. It's a cloud-hosted solution, so very turnkey, very workflow-friendly with the way ETFs are run today. A PM, Shield Runner strategy, or mutual active fund strategy, no different than today. At the end of the day, after the NAV is struck by our custodian, a file with the portfolio names is sent up to the cloud. An algo, the Blue Tractor algo, is run, and out pops a creation basket, which is downloaded to the custodian. The basket, and this is crucial, the basket will hold 100% of the names in the portfolio. So if IBM's in the fund portfolio, IBM will be in the basket. But crucially, the weightings of the holdings in the creation basket will always differ from those of the actual portfolio. So IBM may be 2% in the actual portfolio, but on tomorrow's basket it could be at 1.6%. Next day's basket it could be at 2.3%. So it's constant variation weightings randomly every day that fully shields a manager's alpha strategy. Because it's cloud, we also offer PMs unique tools that allow them to manage their basket for cost and tax efficiency, which is quite unique to the Shielded Alpha. And it really dovetails nicely with the whole movement to custom baskets because of the SEC recent rule change, which allow managers to, you know, manage and customize their baskets for operational efficiencies. We're the only structure that allows that. It's interesting. Some of our rivals have a structure that involves pro rata creation and redemption, so a pro rata slice basket. That basket you cannot manage for tax and cost efficiency. So we like to think that we've raised the bar with our solution.
So Simon, to boil down, I just want to make sure I'm clear. So the Shielded Alpha structure, every holding will be disclosed. Mm-hmm. It's just that the weights of those holdings are going to sort of move around, right? The exact weight that the portfolio manager is holding is not what's going to be disclosed. There's an algorithm to change that.
That's right. And because the algo is random in the sense that some days the percentage weights are higher than the day before and some days they're lower, it's that movement that shields the strategy of the manager, because the market does not know if the movements they see in the basket are actual trading or whether they're just a function of the algo. So it's that uncertainty that we believe will hinder any attempt by a predator to front run or guess the alpha strategy. So I hope what the listeners also have to appreciate is that this means that we're a highly transparent structure. And it goes to the issue that you raised with your comments with Dave Natick a few minutes ago about, is non-transparent the right name for this space? And we frankly don't believe our structure is non-transparent whatsoever, because by providing all the names in the basket that are in the portfolio, no proxies, no dummies, no decoy stocks, and the fact that we have a minimum 90% overlap in asset value between the fund and the basket, that's a very highly transparent structure any way you want to slice it. So that gives the market makers something very important. It gives them visibility into their risks. So if they know their risks, they can price appropriately, they can hedge, they can make efficient primary and secondary markets. And that's what our structure is all about, finding that balance between providing the market with the transparency it needs and craves, and frankly, that has made ETFs successful, but also giving a manager the ability to shield their strategy from predators. And we believe we found the perfect balance with the Shielded Alpha.
Simon, I had posted something on Twitter last week, which laid out a quick summary of the different structures. And a question that I received back basically asked what the benefit of Blue Tractor's approach was for an investment manager. Because if there is this transparency that you're alluding to, the question is it really protecting the manager's intellectual property? And this person said, look, Blue Tractor's approach can make a lot of sense for a quant fund with a large number of positions, but it might not work so well for a concentrated fundamental equity portfolio. Any response to that?
Absolutely, no. We've spent countless hours talking to fund managers, both fund managers that run large, you know, traditional, you know, benchmark funds, you know, over tilt funds. And then, of course, the concentrated fund managers that are high conviction, only have maybe 20 names or less in their portfolio, and all groups have told us that our structure hunts for them. And the reason is really quite simple. For a fund that's benchmarked against an index, our basket perfectly hides whether they're over or underweighted, because the creation basket weightings in our structure keep on changing, so it masks all that as well. For a high conviction manager, we have tools, as I mentioned earlier, in our cloud solution that allow them to fully cloak any time they enter a position or exit a position. They can use the tools to under or overweight positions in the basket and fully hide from the marketplace what they're doing. So, for example, if they're planning to build a position, a brand new position in a high conviction fund, they can use the tools in the basket in the cloud to sort of keep the weighting of that security of interest at a low level over 3 or 4 or 5 days. So the market will never see that in real life they're building a position. And when they're ready to reveal that to the marketplace, they just unlock the tool, unlock the basket management tool. And the basket carries on as normal. So there's ways for the market to fully hide, fully cloak their trading, no matter how small the fund is. And so we're quite excited by this, and most fund managers that have seen this are of the same belief as well.
What about bid-ask spreads on these products? So I'm sure you saw this, but a couple of SEC commissioners recently issued a public statement, right? They expressed concern that during times of stress, investors won't get a fair share price on these. Do you think there's anything to that?
Absolutely. I think Commissioner Lee and Commissioner Jackson were spot on. There's, without a doubt, there's going to be a gradation here, a change in spreads between the true non-transparent structures that have been proposed by some of our rival firms and the more highly transparent structure from Blue Tractor. Without a doubt, in a normal vol marketplace, many of these products will trade pretty well. But once you enter into less liquid securities or into high vol, difficult market conditions, you're going to see spreads widen, absolutely. If you're a market maker, why would you stand there and take the risk? You will just widen your spreads because it's what you need to do. Now, you know, can I say that all the structures, including Blue Tractor, will trade tight from day one? Hard to say. There may be kind of a curing period, as Reggie Brown from GTS says, where it may take a while for the market to get comfortable with how these structures trade. But we believe firmly that our structure being very highly transparent, as I described, with all the names in the basket, will be the tightest of your new ETF wrappers.
Simon, obviously you're preferential to your structure. Mm-hmm. And as I listen to you go through some of the potential benefits of the Shielded Alpha approach and perhaps some of the cons of some of the other approaches, it occurs to me, do you view the non-transparent ETF space as a winner-take-all in terms of the structure that ends up being used, or how do you see this playing out?
Well, great. I mean, nobody has the crystal ball, of course, at this point, so it's early days to really understand. I think most advisors that are thoughtful in their approach to this new space are going to try, you know, at least two or three of us. There's no need to sort of go exclusive and try one and think that's the magic bullet, because, you know, I think people will find quickly that there are some pretenders out there. Absolutely, there are some pretenders. Over time, there will be some winners, but I think the market can probably have one or two, at least over the medium term. You know, there are some people. I was at a conference last week at NASDAQ, and there were some panelists that are really quite skeptical about this space. And I respect those beliefs, because there are some well-known pundits. However, it's hard to imagine it's hard to imagine a marketplace in the future where there is no active management. You know, there won't be hundreds of active managers on the street homeless looking for opportunities. I mean, there will always be a place for active management. The question is, in what wrapper? Are they going to stick with their mutual fund that's inherently inefficient? Are they going to go with the closed-ended fund that always trades at a discount? Or will they embrace the ETF wrapper? I think they'll do that.
Okay, so that actually brings up another, what I think is an interesting topic. And I know you don't speak for the individual fund companies, but do you have any idea on how they might price non-transparent ETFs? This seems really tricky to me, because if they offer the same active strategy in both the mutual fund and non-transparent ETF wrapper, and then they end up pricing the ETF cheaper, how does that work, right? Why would an investor even use the mutual fund wrapper? So do you have any thoughts on how they might approach the strategy here?
Right. That's one of the biggest questions we have when we have meetings with fund managers. That and distribution strategy are the
right.
Two conundrums they have. I mean, look, I don't have a magical answer at this point. I think we're going to have a precedent very soon when we actually have an actual prospectus issued by American Century for their fund that uses the active share structure. So hitherto, they've been quiet on their pricing. I think they're going to sort of lead the way with that first, and we'll see what happens. But you're right. It's hard as a fiduciary to imagine two different similar strategies, and one's in a mutual fund costing 80 basis points, and one's in an ETF wrapper substantially less. All I can say is look at the data. Some of the average weighted average fee or cost of the smart betas, which are kind of a proxy for active management, is about 29 basis points. So that sort of sets a bar that you sort of have to always consider if you're a manager trying to price your strategy. But like I said, I really think the active shares American Century product will sort of set the table for the rest of the marketplace.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, just thinking about mutual fund wholesalers, that'd be a really difficult proposition if they're showing up in an advisor's office and there's non-transparent ETFs that do the same thing, but they're cheaper and more tax efficient. That's a pretty dicey situation to be in. Simon, I know you're not a securities lawyer, but do you have any sense as to whether fund companies might be able to convert an existing mutual fund into a non-transparent ETF?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. I mean, a lot of smart people at some of the big law firms have written some interesting white papers. I can point to K&L Gates and Ropes & Gray as two firms that people should look to and just Google to find some thoughtful analysis. Thompson Hine the same way. I'll leave it to those legal eagles to tell you the actual details. But there are some folks that believe that, funds can convert into an ETF through a mass creation redemption mechanism, one-time in-kind exchange that will be tax efficient. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say whether that idea has true merit or not, but I assure you, people are looking at this very carefully. I mean, the idea of bring your own assets, which, I think it's a term popularized by Eric Balkunas at Bloomberg, really is kind of important in this space. I think you want to see some funds launched with real assets. I mean, the whole NextShares issue of not being able to gather funds really kind of tainted that structure, rightly or wrongly, and I think people are going to want to avoid that. I'm sure American Century is thinking about that right now, but again, that's a legal issue that I can't go into a lot more detail on.
All right, a few minutes left. Can you give us a time frame on when you expect ETFs using the Shielded Alpha approach to roll out? And I guess along with that, what sort of demand are you seeing from asset managers, and what sort of demand do you expect from investors?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're seeing, despite Presidium being out the gates as of May, this kind of artificial monopoly they've had since May is now over, clearly, with the other structures being approved as of December 10th. So I think, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, Nate, I think a lot of sort of careful, deliberate managers are going to look at all the fund structures, all the wrappers. So we're seeing a lot of interest. We have a lot of calls, a lot of meetings, a lot of presentations, a lot of NDAs in place. So we expect to announce our first deals very soon. When will I see the first Shielded Alpha products launched? Well, it's a question of SEC Trading and Markets approval as well. So sometime by the end of 2020, I think you'll see our products out there. There is talk of active shares being out in the first quarter. I mean, they've been talking about this for months and months. It was going to be this summer, then third quarter, then Christmas, and now it's first quarter, so who knows? So far, Trading and Markets has not approved their structure either to list and trade on Cboe. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. You've got investment management that approved the structure, yet Trading and Markets won't allow the rule change to go through the trade and list it. So we hope we don't have the same problem when we approach trade and markets with our first customers. In terms of end user demand, absolutely. There will be demand, but don't forget, it's not the wrapper people are buying. People and retail investors are indifferent to the wrapper. They don't know. Your advisor says, look at this fund, look at that. They don't know. Unless, a few very geeky investors will understand, but most do not know or care. What will drive this thing is performance. So 4-5-star managers that are put into these wrappers, at least the Shielded Alpha wrapper, they're unleashed from some of the cost problems that a mutual fund has. They now have the tax efficiency, and they can really do what they do best, which is create alpha strategies that beat their relevant benchmarks. So, yes, there will be some demand without doubt. Now, if the bull market continues, for another year, it may be slow at the gates, but eventually all good things will come to an end, and unfortunately for passive investors, that wave will begin to drop, and that's when I think active management will have its place in the sun.
Okay, lastly, before I let you go, I told you we would circle back around to the name that seems to be sticking in this space, yep. The one that I've been using throughout our conversation, non-transparent ETFs, and you've already made a few points during our conversation here today just on what you think of that term. And by the way, I agree with you that ultimately performance will be the driver in this space. If the performance is there, that'll obviously help propel this entire space. But it wouldn't hurt to have a good, I'm going to call it marketing name for non-transparent ETFs. And I don't know if you saw this, but Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas, who you mentioned earlier, he ran a Twitter poll a couple of weeks ago on what these should be called. So the options he gave were non-transparent ETFs, semi-transparent, and periodically disclosed. Non-transparent one. Honestly, I don't think any of those are great marketing terms.
No.
I've also seen concealed ETFs, next-gen ETFs. Actually, over the weekend, CNBC used the term confidential ETFs. Here's your shot. What do you think these should be called?
I you put me on the spot here because, I've been in audiences with many, many bright people, and you mentioned Eric as one of them, and Tom Lydon for another one, trying to come up with a name, a moniker, for this whole sector. The problem with doing that is that we are not all the same. Despite the belief by many people that we are all similar because we're trying to hide the alpha generation strategy, we approach it very differently from the true non-transparent structures like the Precedent Active shares all the way to our very highly transparent Blue Tractor structure. So here's what I heard on Friday that I just caught my ear because it was so simple. It was actually brilliant in its simplicity. It was by Rachel Evans from Bloomberg. She called them ANT, active non-transparent.
I've seen
simple
that.
Simple as that. Yeah, simple as that. Now, I don't know if she invented that term, but I like the idea of ANT. But again, because it's and then the problem is Blue Tractor is not non-transparent. So we tend to believe that we hope the market will just sort of view our structure as Shielded Alpha, and so an issuer will issue our wrapper and just call it the X company Shielded Alpha ETF, simple as that. Sort of like what Active Shares is trying to do on the Precedent side. So I don't have a magic answer for you, Nate, because there apparently is not one out there. No one I've heard has one. Anyways.
Well, Simon, I really appreciate you answering every question I threw your way. I'm truly fascinated to see what happens in this space. I certainly wish you all the luck, and we'll have to check in with you next year once all of these are off the ground. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. Hope to see you in Florida at Inside ETFs as well, Nate. Okay? Have a good day.
That was Simon Goulet, co-founder of Blue Tractor.